Thank you for joining us today on the At the Table podcast, where I strive to encourage and equip you on your journey to know and follow Jesus Christ. This week on the At the Table podcast, we're going to look back at last week's message, David, from Shepherd to King. We're going to look ahead to this week's message titled, The Trials of a King. And then we're going to start a series on the book of 1 John. Without further ado, let's get started. Last week during our service, we continued our series titled God's Big Story and How You Fit, and we looked at David from shepherd to king. Now, before we got started, we had a wonderful time of testimony where many shared what God was showing and doing in their life. This is really one of my favorite times every single month where we get to hear from other people in the church, many who would regularly not share in public, but use this opportunity to share their testimony. It was a great time, and I encourage you to go back and listen either on our Grace Community Church Sermons podcast or check us out on YouTube or Facebook. Then we continued our series, and we briefly looked at David from shepherd to king. We looked at this idea of how David was chosen for king, but it was quite some time before he actually took the throne. We also looked at how David was seen as a potential king by God. He looked at the internal. And in that phrase in 1 Samuel 16, we see that David was a man after God's own heart. In the process of choosing David, David was fully engaged in caring for his sheep. In fact, he was so engaged that he wasn't even brought before Samuel when Samuel first addressed Jesse. David also protected and rescued his sheep from danger, the attacking from much larger animals. And David, most importantly, as I've mentioned already, was a man after God's own heart. While God saw David's potential, others did not see the potential because they looked at his external. He was small, and he was young, and he was one that was not seen as a possible king. Jesse, David's father, didn't even summon David when Samuel came to be anoint a new king. David's older brothers, in fact, scolded David later on for leaving his sheep to come and watch the battle with the Philistines. King Saul viewed David as a mere boy and not of king material. And of course, when David confronted Goliath, Goliath most certainly did not think of David as a potential king. In fact, he called him a stick. However, Jonathan, Saul's son and successor to the throne, saw David with the potential to become king. Well, we then continued on and saw how David went through what I called a boot camp to be trained as a king. Saul, who was hostile to David, was God's tool to help train David in godly and kingly character. There were many attacks and attempts on his life. David, though, had several attacks to lash out and take out Saul, and he chose not to because he realized that Saul was God's anointed, and he trusted God's plan. David ran like a fugitive and even hid with the very nemesis, the Philistines, and he depended solely on God's guidance and help. After 14 years, Saul dies, and David is ready to represent God and God's character, and he is inaugurated as king of Judah. But even after Saul's death, it took some more time, some 7+ years, for David to be fully recognized as king over all of Israel. In this look at how David went from shepherd to king, we saw how there was 5 things that we could pull out and apply to our whole life. David was wholeheartedly trusting in God's plan and timing. This is seen because of the length of time it took for him to actually become king. All the while, David trusted God. David also relied on God for his provision, how many times he was finding provision in very weird and mysterious ways, but God often does this, doesn't he? Also, David surrendered to God's plan. He recognized who was in charge, and he trusted him and surrendered to his plan. David, though, also was sure and quick to worship the Lord at all times, even in the midst of tragedies and tough goings. And finally, we looked at how David would so often remain in the Lord's presence. And then we looked at John chapter 15 and how Jesus said that very phrase to his disciples. in John chapter 15 and how they are to remain in him. And we too are to remain in God. Well, once David became king, one might think that everything was smooth sailing. Well, this week we're going to see that there were definitely trials that came when David became king. And some were related to his own choices, and others were lived out choices through his very own kids. We pick up the story this week and we see that David, in fact, did commit a major sin. While the army was off fighting a battle, David saw another woman and invited her over and ended up having a child with this woman out of wedlock. It turns out that this woman, Bathsheba, was actually the wife of one of his supporters who was working in the army named Uriah. In an effort to try to cover up this sin, David invited Uriah home and wanted him to go spend time with his wife in order to cover up the sin that had happened. Uriah, though, was too good of a man, and he realized that while his other army folk were out in the field, in the midst of battle, he would not go to his house and sleep with his wife. So David had a choice, and he decided to send him back with word to the advanced commanders to put Uriah in the front lines and then withdraw from him. In essence, David was responsible for the killing of Uriah. David thought his sin was all covered up, and wouldn't you know it, that God saw the sin. So David had committed the sin of adultery and then had committed the sin of murder. And Nathan the prophet comes to him with a story about something that was unjust and how somebody took advantage of another person. And David was indignant. He said, "This isn't right. This should be made right." And Nathan said, "This is your sin." Well, this sin was revealed, and David, unlike Saul, immediately repented. And because of this repentance, God continued to bless David. However, there were certainly consequences that came with this sin, some in his personal life, because the son that he had conceived out of wedlock with Bathsheba would actually die. He also had many other issues in his own family through his kids, who he didn't do as good a job as he should have keeping an eye on. The sins of those kids came back to be a strong penalty against David, as his own son actually rose up against him and for a time overtook the kingdom. David continues ruling, though, as he takes back the kingdom, and we see time and time again as how David's sin was difficult and had many consequences, David did turn back to God, and there was, shall we say, a reconciliation, because in the end, he recognized that he had sinned and done wrong against God and had repented and, in fact, returned to worship. David did sin, but David did also have a proper response when he recognized the sin and what it did to break his relationship with God. You see, we are much like David. We must admit that we have sinned. When we sin and we recognize it, we must come clean, don't make excuses, and turn back to God. The second thing we can do is we need to then repent. Repent of the sin. And remember, repenting means turning away from and turning towards God. We must admit it, and we must be willing to repent. But then even after repenting, we must recognize that there is going to be consequences. God's word is clear that if we go against God and we sin, there are consequences. Now we know as believers in Jesus Christ, we have the ultimate forgiveness, but we must repent from that and turn back to God. But even in that turning back, there will be consequences. And most importantly, no matter what happens, no matter what sin is done, when we admit it, even with terrible consequences, we can experience the forgiveness that only comes through a personal relationship with God. And just last week, as one of the members of the church reminded us all that there is peace in Jesus Christ, but apart from him, there can be no peace. So I don't know what's affecting you today or what sin may be happening in your life at this moment, even as you're listening. But I want you to know, no matter what, repent and come back to Christ. And you can too experience peace. Starting this week, I'm going to be using part of my time in this podcast to go through the book of 1 John. 1 John is an area where I think is so very important because John's purpose in writing this letter is to reassure Christians in their faith and to counter false teachings. And I think this is so very important right now, especially in the times that we live, that we do this. So the outline is going to be kind of like this. I'm going to read a chapter. I'm going to give a brief commentary that comes from Warren Wiersbe's book. And then I'm going to just make a few personal comments and challenge and encourage you to grow spiritually. So let's look at 1 John chapter 1. In reading from 1 John chapter 1, this is in the 1984 NIV. The heading is God is Light. Verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you that we have seen and heard, so that you may also have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son and Jesus Christ. We write to you to make our joy complete. Verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him to declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we proclaim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim to have, we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our life. In Nelson's quick reference, a chapter-by-chapter commentary by Warren Wiersbe, this is what Warren Wiersbe says. God wants you to have a living fellowship, verses 1 through 3, with him and his children. In Jesus Christ, he has revealed what true life really is. Even though you cannot see him and touch him as the apostles did centuries ago, he can still be real to you as his Holy Spirit opens the word to your heart. He wants you to have a joyful fellowship. It is not the fellowship of a slave with a master, but with a child with a parent. God delights in his children, from Psalm 18:19, and longs to share his love with them, from John 14:19-24. When you are happy in the will of God, and you are ready to live for him and serve him, he wants you to have an honest fellowship, verses 5 through 10 of this chapter. This means walking in the light and dealing honestly with sin. Salvation is a matter of life or death, but fellowship is a matter of light or darkness. If you lie to God, to others, and to yourself, you will lose your fellowship with God and your character. A godly character does not develop in the darkness. A quote from Charles Spurgeon: some Christians try to go to heaven alone, in solitude. But believers are not compared to bears or lions or other animals that wander alone. Those who belong to Christ are sheep in their respect. They love to get together. Sheep go in flocks, and so do God's people. Well, I don't know about you, but it seems that every time we turn around, we see an attempt by this world to divide us and isolate us. One thing that really sticks out in this message is that we are to be in fellowship with one another. That's why church, that's why Sunday morning service is so very important. It's a time that's set aside each week that we can gather together and worship and learn more about God. But you know, that's not the end of it. The end is not on Sunday morning. It continues throughout the week where we individually and hopefully collectively continue to study God's word, to draw closer to him, to address things in our life that need to be addressed, including sin and habits that maybe we shouldn't be doing. And then as well, continuing in fellowship, and I like to say living life together. You know, one of the hallmark core values of Grace Community Church is fellowship and this idea that we meet regularly and consistently and do life together. You know, we're not meant to be alone. We're not meant to be alone spiritually. We're meant to have Jesus as our Savior and a personal relationship with the Father, His Father, through the power of the Holy Spirit. But we're also created to spend time together, to do life together, to share an accountability together, and to grow closer to Jesus Christ together. So what I want to encourage you with today is this. As we continue to look at the book of 1 John, I want you to dive into this book a little deeper. Take the challenge, read through it verse by verse, find a good commentary. Maybe if you don't have one yet, the Moody Bible Commentary is a great place to start because it's a good attainable commentary for all reading levels and believers. And I encourage you to study God's Word, to set yourself apart and to be approved as a workman who needeth not be ashamed. You know, our spiritual growth journey may be ending as a church this summer and the challenge that I've laid before you, but I'm praying that this would spur you on and continue to help you grow closer to Him every single day. Be on the lookout for some new ways that Grace Community Church can help you in this journey. One is our Discovering Church class, which tells you all about the church and what we do and what we believe and helps you become a member. The second class is a Discovering Maturity class to walk you through some of the basics of how to grow spiritually. And also, as the season, the new school year opens up, we will be launching some small groups here in the next couple weeks. One group that I know has been meeting and will continue to meet is our Sunday evening small group that meets on the second Sunday of every month. And that Sunday is a time where we gather, we read a passage, usually from the recent sermon that we've done, and we dive into it a little bit deeper and try to learn more and apply it to our life. This is on the second Sunday of every month. The next one is Sunday, September 8th, starting at 6 o'clock to 7:30. Stay tuned for more in the small groups, but I encourage you to grow deeper in your walk with Jesus today. Read His Bible. Read the good book every single day, if at all humanly possible. Find a good commentary and then get into a study or a small group with other believers and do life together. That concludes our time this week, and I hope this has encouraged and equipped you on your journey to know and follow Jesus Christ.
You have been listening to the At the Table podcast with Pastor Gary. I hope this episode has left you encouraged and equipped. Pastor Gary is the lead pastor of Grace Community Church in Alliance, Ohio. To learn more about the church, the ministries at the church, or to give to support Grace Community Church, you can follow the links in the show notes or go directly to gccofalliance.org. Have a blessed day.